In Jesus' name, amen. For this Saints Peter and Paul Day, I wish to direct your attention to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 till 16. Therefore, beloved, since you expect these things, the things in connection with the parousia, strive earnestly that you be found in him without blemish or spot, in peace. In addition, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his epistles he speaks in them about these things. In these epistles there are some things that are hard to understand, which those who are unlearned and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. Beloved fellow believers, our theme this morning is Peter, Paul, and Concordia. No, it's not a new record, Peter, Paul, and Mary, nor is it that I am inviting you to become a Stoic and sit on one of the outside benches around the lake and enjoy and learn to live in harmony with the beauties of nature which we have around us. But rather, nor am I speaking about the alleged, the wife of Peter, whose name by tradition is Concordia, and that Paul has some things to say about Peter and his wife, as indeed he does, but I'm speaking about the harmony between Peter and Paul, the true Concordia. And I would like, I'm interested how the sign people interpret this, I would like to see and to know how it is possible to erase or to take off and remove and to smash those spectacles which have been on the minds of so many people for the last 150 years, those spectacles formed in Tübingen, Germany, and which derive from the lectures of F. Christian Bauer. Namely, that Paul and Peter had a spat, and it was worse than that, that Paul and Peter lived together with swords crossed all of their lives, and that we as Christians should somehow emulate them, and it seems that a lot of Christians, and Lutheran Christians included, try to do that, that we always think that our Christianity has to imply that we have to have conflict, that we have to confront one another. Indeed, it is true that there was, as Paul says in Galatians 2, it was that Paul confronted Peter when Peter came to Antioch and dissimulated. And this was indeed a very important point. The very truth of the gospel, the freedom of the gospel, was at stake in this confrontation. But this was not a permanent arrangement. The disciples of F. Christian Bauer seem to think that there were all sorts of conflicts. There was a John the Baptist and a Jesus party, and they were battling it out with each other. And there was, of course, the Paul and Peter. There was the Paul and James party. And there was the John and the Synoptics party. And there were numerous different groups, and perhaps even quite normative for the churches was the Church of Corinth, where there was a Cephas and a Jesus and a Paul and an Apollos and who knows how many other parties and factions there were. I want to lay that to rest and rather stress the emphasis that the early Christians, while they did confront each other occasionally when the truth of the gospel was at stake, rather they lived together in peace and in harmony. They were all of one heart and soul and mind. They were like one huge body living in concordia, true concordia with one another. Even the Even the architecture has gotten involved in this competition and this residual belief that there was conflict and clashing all the time. There is the Church of the Holy Carcare, the Church of the Holy Prison, dedicated to Peter and Paul, right next to the old Roman Forum, where Peter and Paul, under Nero, by tradition, Peter and Paul were prisoners. That's where the similarity ends. Then, beginning in the 4th century, Constantine and his wife and his sister found the place in Rome, supposedly in the Trans-Tiber region, where Peter supposedly was crucified. There they erected a monument, upon which today, of course, in the 16th and 17th century, St. Peter's Cathedral is erected. Of the 400-some churches in Rome, St. Peter's is number one in size, in grandeur, everything else. But you have to go outside of the gate to find the second largest church, the Episcopal Church, St. Paul's, outside the walls on the Via Ostia, on the old road that goes to ancient Ostium. In other words, even in the architecture, this rivalry. Benjamin Spock, Dr. Spock, is not entirely wrong when he says we should teach our children from young on Christian principles and true Christian principles to live in harmony, in concordia, in love with one another. That's what I want to stress this morning on the basis of this text. Peter, Paul, and Concordia, showing that the emphasis of these two is harmony in person and harmony in teaching. Peter has just described the effect of the coming, the parousia of our Lord, what effect it should have on believers. Believers should buckle up their belts, the belts of their flesh, and they should hold themselves together. They should practice those great Christian virtues, and above all, they should live in peace, in irene with one another, in reconciliation due to the work of Christ. The delay in Christ's coming is not this due to the sloth or the negligence of God, but the delay in Christ's coming, nor is it an excuse for us to live it up a little bit, to cheat a little, but the delay in Christ's coming is intended for one purpose, to lead people to repentance. That he has stressed. And then it's in this context that he says, just as, Peter says, as our beloved brother Paul. And when he uses the word beloved, it's not just agapetos, as the Greeklings already know from agape, that it is not just a term which refers to dear brother Paul, but it's a term which involves that people have been caught up and they're bound and together in the love of God in a covenant kind of relationship. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, my elect, my chosen son. It's in that relationship. And the term brother, of course, implies that those who are brethren speak to God as their Abba, Father, and that they are in this reconciled relationship with one another. Our beloved brother Paul. To Polycarp, he was our blessed and glorious Paul. But to Clement of Rome, who was a pupil of Paul, as Polycarp had been a pupil of John, to Clement of Rome, he was Paul and Peter, the end of their lives, were the, like Moses, the meekest of men who lived together and worked together and died together in Rome. The meekest of men. They could be in our assembly this morning, and it would take 3 invitations to get them to stand up, and maybe 10 invitations to come to the front and say something to us. So this is the kind of atmosphere and spirit that they had. Above all, Peter says of Paul, Paul wrote to you in his epistles according to the wisdom given to him. Peter recognized Paul's special gift. He recognized other gifts of the Spirit, his apostleship, his celibacy. They recognized the gift that he had to be an apostle above all to the Gentiles. But here he speaks of the gift of wisdom, of practical wisdom. And he speaks of that with respect and with esteem. So Christians on St. Peter and Paul's day, Christian leaders, future pastors above all, need to learn to respect one another, to esteem each other highly because of the work which we are called upon to do, to live in true concordia, in true harmony, and to live, as Clement says, as the humblest of men, not flaunting it over other people and seeking power, grabbing and so forth, but to live in harmony with one another. Likewise, the theology of Peter and Paul expresses this. What Peter says about Paul says much more, or just as much, about Peter. He says that in his epistles, Paul said some things that are hard to understand. They are seemingly ambiguous things of a prophecy, of an oracle, or something like that, disnoetos, and that the unlearned and the unstable, the flaky type, they twist and distort these things, these teachings of Paul, to their own destruction, even as they do the other scriptures, and no doubt a reference to the Old Testament scriptures, where Peter's epistle and Paul's epistles are equated with the Old Testament writings. A man, a parishioner, came to a pastor and said, "Pastor, I've got a confession to make. I'd like to eat my wife." Well, that took three more questions. What is the motive for this, to eat your wife? Is she so sweet that you want to eat her? Or do you dislike her so much? Did you get into a spat that you want to get rid of her that way and it's easier than a divorce? Or just what is the motive behind it? Why do you want to eat your wife? The context is, in other words, is necessary for us to know. So it was with the things that Paul said. We need to know the context. G.K. Chesterton said, "Orthodoxy is like walking along a narrow ridge, almost like a knife edge. One step to either side is a step to disaster." And here are some of those. Jesus is God and man. And if you move to one or the other, disaster. God is love and holiness. Christianity is grace and morality. The Christian lives in this world and in the world of eternity. And you overstress one or the other and you're off in the ditch. We are to speak the truth in love, we could add. And you get too much love and it's all gush. You get too much truth without love and it's legalism, it's harshness and so forth. So it was with Paul. He, no doubt, Peter has reference to his teaching regarding justification by grace through faith, and that we have been justified, we have been made righteous before God by God's grace through the work of Christ alone. This can easily be twisted by the flaky, by the unstable and the unlearned. Oh, if that's so easy, well then if grace covers all of our sins, let's sin more that we get more grace. In fact, God even promised in Isaiah 42, he even promised a double measure of grace for every sin. Therefore, let's sin again as much and we'll get four times as much grace. God forbid. Or if God's dealings with men cause some to become unbelievers, then God really becomes the cause why people act in an evil manner. God becomes the author, like Manichaeus becomes the author of evil. God forbid. So if you go to one side or the other on this beautiful teaching of justification by grace through faith, you're off in the ditch. But we hold to it, and we cling to it, and we do it in the spirit of Peter and Paul, a true spirit of concordia, of peace, of unanimity with one another. It's in that context and in that view that I wish to conclude this devotion, praying that the Holy Spirit may lead us into the spirit of Peter, Paul, and Concordia, now and throughout our ministries. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.